there. Welcome. It's the Laurie and Julia Show for your Monday here on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. Thank you for joining us. Our intrepid travelers are back from Vegas, and we're happy to say no police reports. It's good news. We
it
never know.
Funny.
Yeah.
So much fun, Donnie. Me, Julia, and I.
The big music festival.
The big music festival, and we absolutely love living large at the Bellagio.
Oh.
Like fancy ladies.
It's
with
it suits
David
us.
And Danny, it really does suit
it
us.
It suits us.
Traveling by limousine to the arena, which is just like two blocks away. And
Wait. You took a limousine to go two blocks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but they're Vegas blocks, Donnie.
Oh,
so that's like
blocks.
Eight blocks.
And we had a limo pick us up at the airport. I mean, it really was quite a lovely weekend.
It was so fun. And we've come up with who is going to open the Super Bowl.
Not open.
Halftime?
Or
half-time.
Do the halftime show.
Laurie keeps wanting to be the opening.
But the halftime show, and it was the first two acts on Friday night. Pink, okay, and she could sail across that big boat of a stadium.
She has a new harness.
Oh, my gosh.
That she's no longer doing the Cirque du Soleil rope thing that we saw at a couple of her concerts. Now she just hooks in like the flying Peter Pan gear, and she spins and twirls and travels the entire
to the
arena.
Song So What, which everybody knows.
Oh, yeah.
And then Harry Styles was the second one. And Donnie, thank you for posting this photo of him in his fantastic Argyle Gucci suit. But then Harry could come out, because that sign of the times, I mean, it was so great. Mm-hmm. And then those two could do some songs together.
I see.
I think it'd be perfect. I'm going to post right now on our Twitter account, Pink doing the twirls, because it was something so amazing. Or if you follow us on Instagram, it's Laurie A&D Julia, because there are some funny videos posted there from
Julia,
the weekend.
Julia is determined to make me an Insta star.
I am going to make Laurie an Instagram star.
Did you do the video of me? Guess what we saw in this, you know, they've got beautiful shops at the Bellagio. And
I haven't posted that one yet.
Okay. We actually came across Stirrup Jeans.
Stirrup Jeans?
Oh, yeah, they're back, people.
They're back.
They're back with a vengeance.
With a full stirrup.
I'm going to post that on Twitter,
what do you mean
too.
They're back. They
oh, no, Donnie.
Thing?
No, Donnie.
No, but I mean, in the 80s.
He doesn't know
pants.
This. He doesn't know this.
I'm sorry.
I'm surprised, but
remember,
you don't.
Oh, God, I had a pair of black stirrup pants that I got at Heartbreaker.
Oh, Laurie.
In Uptown. And they looked almost like a ski pant because it had the raised thing.
Oh.
So they were so great. And I loved wearing them with my multicolored high heel 80s pointy, you know.
Oh, Laurie, we were everything
shoes.
In those boots. But I remember when they came out, and I really thought they made you look thin.
Yeah.
Because there was something about elongating the leg straight down, because you didn't look like you had calves or knees or anything.
Who knows?
They were amazing, but we saw them back in their jean material, and that is what I am going to post right now, is I'm going to post you in a hanger trying to describe the fad, and I wouldn't help her. I just filmed her. And then we'll go from there if I can find it, which I know I have.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
It was two nights of amazing music. And, you know, we go with David from First Equity.
Yes.
And Mr. Manuary, Danny came with us. Right. And it was our third year in a row of going. And it was warmer here than in Vegas.
Yes, all 3 days.
All 3 days. Because Vegas was like... Luckily, at the Bellagio, the pool, you can find sort of some sheltered area, but we didn't care. We were just wandering around, gambling and laughing and dancing.
Oh, we danced our butts off.
Pooled it. Vegas is just a great town.
I know.
Pooled it.
Oh, pooled it.
Yeah. Pooled it.
Did you lose money? Did you come out?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. First, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. So we get there. Lori just can't stop winning.
She can't stop winning.
Mm-hmm. I have a black cloud, apparently, that was so black that my black credit card even got denied on Friday. I can't win anything. Everything I touch, 100, 30. And then I realized I packed my wallet so poorly for Vegas. I didn't bring very much cash, and the one credit card that I did bring, someone had hacked into already on Friday.
Dear.
So I didn't have a credit card that worked. So I'd have to call and say turn it on for 10 minutes so I could make
We're
a
at
purchase.
The black and white at the Planet Hollywood Miracle Mile shops.
Can we just turn it on so I can use it to buy something? Because that was weird. not having any cash, but I'm posting your stirrup pant thing, Lori.
Perfect.
And you're going to see Lori just, if anyone remembers the stirrup pant, it's back and it's scary. I mean, it is, Lori. You know it is. We both of us know it is.
Do you think people thought Harry? I thought he looked so fantastic when he came out.
In that suit?
Yeah, Donnie posted it.
I like it. I think it's cool.
They call it a Harlequin print. Oh, yes. I called it Argyle, but that's a Harlequin print. Harlequin.
It's from
Gucci suit. Yeah. And complete with a turn-of-the-century ruffled white
Thing by the neck?
Yeah,
yeah,
shirt.
The pirate. Remember, we just were trying to...
He was so good. I mean, he's solo artist now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not to say that One Direction may or may not get back together, but had the audience in the palm of his hand. He was just so comfortable. And
with his guitar walking.
Yeah,
in
he played a guitar. Oh,
in really? His checker suit.
Yes. Compared to like The Weeknd, who I know was at, I think it was a sold out show here last night. I read John Bream's review. And, you know, this is the second year in a row we've seen Weeknd perform. And he just stands there. Mm. It's so boring to watch.
It's so boring.
You might as well be listening to it on the radio.
Oh. It's so boring.
He doesn't have any kind of a show.
No stage presence.
No, Lori, the one. Okay, here's the one. All right, so when we started to get...
Miley was amazing.
She's everything. But here's really? What happened. Oh. First of all...
Julia was taking notes on her phone.
I did.
Good.
It was Posh Pits. They have these posh pits on the side of the stage where we sat. We literally, because the music festival lets everyone play four songs and then the stage spins and the next band is set up.
Oh.
So we saw the behind the scenes and in front of the scenes and all that kind of stuff. But here's what we wrote about Chris Martin. Lori is just musing in my ear and I'm taking photos of her. He just keeps talking. She goes... I said, I think he's hot. I like this song. I like how he has. I like how he performs.
Was really good.
And then you go, no, Julia. But here's my thing. I'm having a confetti buzzkill. No glee for confetti like I used to. And you can quote me on that one. Because there was such an overuse of balloons and confetti.
Oh,
and Lori and I are
the
plastic going down.
Never, you never get rid of it.
She's going down a biodegradable path.
They did so much confetti. Only if it's going to be biodegradable confetti. I can't enjoy it anymore ever since I read this thing about how the oceans are drowning in the little plastic pieces of confetti. They don't ever...
Oh, they weren't paper? They were plastic?
No,
We don't know. We weren't that close.
Julia.
But the way the light hit them, it looked like they were. And then everyone walks in and you get a big fit band.
Oh, my gosh.
That lights up. That's a chunk of plastic, too. So Lori's just going, and on.
No, it's just these light-up things that will never degrade anywhere in the world.
I'm having no glee like I used to.
No.
For confetti like I used to. You were very bummed about that. And then Jared Leto comes out with 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh.
And his first... opening number. We have to find it somewhere.
It was a mashup of Purple Rain, Heroes, and Freedom.
And Imagine. Oh,
wow. No, it was Freedom, George Michael.
Which was it?
Freedom, Julia.
Okay, well, it says something else.
That
you're
story
right.
is wrong.
Okay, so here was our thing with Jared Leto. Both of us, Metallic, Burrito, Bagel, Poncho.
Yeah.
I mean, because he had on gold...
Sequin pants.
Mm-hmm. And a rainbow poncho.
Mm-hmm.
And these were our notes. Love the opening number. He had to work so hard to get the crowd into it. Mm. One song, he said, everybody knows it. Come sing along. Come sing along. It was, ooh, hoo, ha, ha. Ooh, hoo, ha, ha, ha.
Well, it's easy to sing.
And then we have Jesus Dancing Queen. Because he looks so much like Jesus.
He's got a full beard.
With his beard and his hair. Ooh, hoo, ha, ha. I mean, boy, he made us sing that a lot. I was pissed. And then this is my comment now. Artists are making the audience do all the work.
He kept saying instructions. I did not
cheer
care for
over
that.
Here. Cheer older here. Cheer over there. But anyway, we had a lot of fun. We have videos to post. I just tweeted out if you follow us at Lori Julia. The other things that what else did we love, Lori?
Well, we liked, we did like Coldplay. They were so much fun to watch. So I would say the highlight for Friday was Pink Harry Styles and Coldplay.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy Chris Stapleton just coming out on stage with just basically like what you'd use if you were playing in a bar.
Exactly.
Oh. Just
stripped down.
Stripped down. And
his Tennessee whiskey when he played that live. Oh, so it was good. Beautiful.
It was good. All
it
right.
It was beautiful.
So anyway, we're sad we're home, Donnie. We're sad that we don't live at the Balazs.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I feel bad for you.
Mm-hmm. Not really. And we did see people from Minnesota.
Oh, we saw a ton of people from Minnesota.
Yeah, people giving us the shout out. All right, listen, we come back. It's our story we can't get enough of. And a little bit later this afternoon, we're going to have Neil Justin from the Star Tribune talking about all the TV shows that we're going to want to watch.
The radio home of It's Good, but it's not like Breaking Bad good. My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment.
Oh my gosh, we went crazy when Miley came out and started singing this song. It was like actually her fourth song in, but she looks so great.
She is so
and sounded amazing.
Lovely. And her over the knee sparkled black boots were everything. I want an over the knee boot in every color and every style with just a 3-inch heel or shorter.
Yeah, I know it.
Or smaller, but man, she's just lovely. And their voices. Oh,
amazing.
We got back from seeing some great music this weekend, and we have some videos.
Yeah,
not incriminating, actually.
Yeah.
Lori and I, we have this thing where we just like to break out in dance parties in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. And I'm always dancing in Vegas. I'm always dancing, moving through a lobby. They just play great music.
We are always dancing.
Yeah. And then we go into places and they're not
If it's
dancing,
boring, we just get
we
up
just
and
start dance. Dancing.
So the Dancing Bandit and the machines. Betty White now has her own machine, slot machine.
We're down to just 3 Sex in the City at the Bellagio.
Yeah. They've cut them out in only two Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, but I won yesterday on Wizard of Oz. I had $20 left in my wallet.
I know.
And then I walked away with 60, and then I came home with 2. So you can see how
$2?
That
started.
Oh, yeah. I borrowed a lot while I was out there. So I have. I just wrote a check.
I just go, this is all I can handle losing is $300 in cash.
Well,
you know, that's all I can handle. Yeah. I feel like, okay, if it's more than that, then it's reaching.
I spent more than that because I couldn't use a credit card. Right? So I use cash on other things. But Betty White machine,
I went
the Titanic.
Yeah, that was a good
that
one.
That was a good new machine.
Good new Elvis dollar slot.
You played on the Rolling Stone that just did
nothing. I never win on that one. I want Mick to come up and he never comes up and all I can do is, you know, just wait for Harry Styles playing in the movie.
And everybody loves the Vikings. There were a lot of Viking fans at the sports book. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, my kids asked me to place a bet on somebody for the Super Bowl. And so one of them says the Browns to win it all.
The Browns?
And I didn't even.
10,000 to 1?
Oh, no. Donnie, I didn't even. I got to remember where that ticket is. So I bought it and I thought, I'll put $10 on. I thought, oh, it can't be so cheap. I'll put $20 down. And I take a picture of it and send it to my boys that were hunting together this weekend. And they both are like laughing at me, commenting back, Mom, I was just kidding.
It
was such a joke. You're so gullible. And I'm like, oh, I was just trying to be a good mom.
Yeah.
And there we go. So let's go Browns.
Right.
Go
Serves
Browns.
Right.
We could win a lot of money. We could win a lot.
Okay. So this morning, you know, NBC is not only are they promoting, of course, Megyn Kelly and her new show, but This Is Us comes back.
Tomorrow night.
And so Sterling K. Brown was making the rounds on NBC today. And of course, he just won an Emmy for playing Randall on This Is Us. And last year, he won an Emmy for playing in the People versus OJ, and he played Chris Darden.
Right. He's on a roll.
All right, here we go. Let's play Let's play the first cut, Donnie.
How did it feel to be standing up there and winning an Emmy another year?
It's pretty awesome. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, never in my wildest dreams when I first started acting did I think that this moment would be happening for me right now. And the fact that it happened 2 years in a row is a blessing.
We were talking about how you sort of toiled in the, you know, it just, you've been acting for years and years and years, and finally this recognition. It must be fun just to even talk to your kids about.
It's, you know what, my kids, anything that takes me away from my kids, they're like, later for it. So my son will say sometimes, I wish you weren't so famous, Daddy. And I say, why, big boy? He's like, because I just want you to be at home more.
Wait, that's like the most beautiful thing ever.
It's a good thing.
That's better than your Emmy is really cool.
Yeah, the love of a child, nothing can surpass that.
That's so sweet. He's so lovely.
He's so lovely. And he and his wife, I thought, were just style stars last week at the Emmys. She had this beautiful yellow dress on, and they just seemed
so in love and happy. They took a night out.
Yeah.
And stayed at a hotel the night before.
Okay, so of course, everyone wants to know, you know, what's going to happen on This Is Us. It was the buzziest TV show last year. We can't get too much, but here's what we did get.
Preaching it. And this season, we're going to get a lot of answers.
Yes. Even in the first episode, we find out a big clue as to how Jack passed away.
Okay, and I'm glad you said it, because I'm always afraid that someone will be like, spoiler what, Jack alert. Passed away, you ruined the whole show, but that everyone knows that.
You know, if they don't know it by this time, I'm sorry. But yeah, Jack passed away.
But now we'll know how and why.
How and why it transpired.
So there you go. Okay. Yep. We'll see. And of course, we did find that out, you know, last year. That was sort of the cliffhanger.
Right.
But we don't know exactly what happened, because that story goes back and forth in time.
Yes, it does, which is so lovely.
It is. Okay, so here's what he thinks about, if people can just jump in right now.
Oh, sure. To This Is Us?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you happen to be one of these people who saw the Emmys and said, wow, that's a show I've got to start watching.
Yes.
So let's pretend you sit down, turn on the TV, and start watching now.
Okay.
Is that person going to understand what's happening? Is there enough there? Or should they binge and sort it all out before we get there?
You gotta start from the beginning.
I was going to say
the same. Because you don't want to miss the beginning, right?
No, yeah. It's such a good season of television.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so affirming, and this family, an unconventional family, but the connections that they have with one another shows that we have more in common than we do that separates us. Start from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's a good ride.
I would agree, because Randall's whole storyline was so poignant last year, and it was so fantastic. So
yeah.
I would start from the beginning, hands down.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And, you know, his next project, he's starring with our guy Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, in what?
In Marshall, about Thurgood Marshall, who was the first black person to be on the U.S. Supreme Court. And boy, Chadwick Boseman has made a lot of biopics.
Yes, many.
Many. I mean,
Jackie Robinson,
James Brown.
Mm-hmm. There's another one in there somewhere.
Yeah, he's so good. So anyway, he did talk later with, I think, Hoda and Kathy Lee, and he's on Ellen today.
He's on Ellen. The whole cast, the top four, are on Ellen today.
Yeah, they must have taped that. Well, let's just play the last cut we have from Sterling K. Brown.
This is one of those shows that has captured the nation at a time I feel like we needed this more than ever.
Yeah.
Do you think it's the timing of this show that made it so successful?
I think that has a lot to do with it. I think we spend a lot of time arguing. I think we spend a lot of time saying, like, well, you're right, well, I'm right, and you're wrong, etc. And the title of the show in and of itself, This Is Us. It's not us versus them. You know, we're one. If we all sit together and breathe and actually enjoy one another's company, we can recognize that we're not that different. And so for at least an hour a week, people get a chance to come together and say, like, hey, we can all enjoy this show collectively.
Because that is just a good show. It'd be a great family show.
I mean, it was last season's breakout hit. It was getting, you know, 16.5 million, you know, for network TV.
That's
just kind
huge.
Of unheard of, right? So that comes back tomorrow night. So excited. And Julia, we have to avoid the internet like crazy today, because something big happened on Outlander.
And we don't know about
flying home.
Don't send us anything.
We did not watch it, but we will watch it tonight.
Yes, we will.
It's a major, major development.
Oh my gosh. All right. Listen, we come back. We got Neil Justin, media and TV critic for the Star Tribune, joining us. Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. That's Kesha. Of course, we saw her on Saturday night. Amazing voice on that lady.
Amazing.
And speaking of amazing, we have Neil Justin from the Star Tribune covering all things media and TV. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Neil.
Nice transition.
Do you like that?
It's beautiful.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are great.
We have so much to talk to you about today,
okay,
but
so
we're going to let you talk.
First of all, you got to tell us when your media trivia night is going on. So
yeah, you guys have been scared of this for the last couple of years, but you guys used to do pretty well.
I know.
This is a night of, it's a traditional pub quiz, which I think most people are familiar with, where you're tested on everything and anything unimportant, which is why you guys usually do so well.
Yes.
And but the twist here is that it's made up mostly of media folks, people from radio and television and the newspaper world. And that doesn't mean other people not in media can't participate. And it takes place at Brits Pub October 24th. There is limited amount of teams that can participate. So if you're interested, folks can go to aaja.org and go to the Minnesota chapter. And it's a great evening. We raise money for students trying to get more diversity in journalism. And it's also a chance to see people's favorite media folks get drunk.
It's totally
so fun.
We need to have a team.
Yes,
you do.
All right, write us down for a team. We're going to figure out what it is.
Okay, that'd be great. We'd love to see you guys.
Okay, so Neil, did you by any chance have a chance? I mean, we do want to talk about fall TV, but did you see any of Megyn Kelly's show at 9 today?
I didn't see the debut today, but I have watched her, of course, ever since she moved over to NBC. And so, you know, I had a little sense of what she's doing and what the hopes are. What did you guys watch it this morning?
I did.
What were your thoughts?
It was
Bob, can I buy a personality for
$2,000? It was as awkward as I kind of feared it would be. And my mom sent me a text and she liked it okay, but she doesn't trust NBC not to throw Megan out with the bathwater or something like that.
Could happen.
It was awkward. It was just awkward. I don't know any other way to describe what I was watching.
Awkward is probably a good word for what she seems to be displaying. There's not a comfort level with the camera yet. Look, whatever she was beforehand.
It's hard to forget that.
It's hard to forget that, and it's hard to know who she really is. And that may not make a difference if she's not comfortable with this kind of live television. It's a different animal. And what I've seen so far has felt artificial. You can fake authenticity to a certain extent, but I haven't even seen that yet. So I wish her the best.
Yep.
You know, I thought she was effective on Fox for what they had her do. She certainly asked good questions and had a personality on that show that won't work on NBC,
right.
At least not the way they want to use her. So whether she can be something else or what she says is her real her, she could be a very warm, a very fair, open-minded person in real life, and that just not translate on screen. That happens.
Well, it does happen,
and
doesn't it?
And she had the Will and Grace cast, and she's just not good at talking to people or with people, but she talks better at them. And I was shocked at what crappy interview questions, because her questions were questions that would only be yes or no answers.
Right. And it's an adjustment because, look, when you're interviewing politicians, sometimes you do want the yes or no questions.
Right.
That's the one area that makes sense. When you're doing featurey stuff, those are foreboding.
yes, they are.
And she's got to make that adjustment. Yeah. I would think she would have made that by now because she's not being thrown into the lion's den, you know, overnight.
Mm-hmm.
They've had some time to prepare her, and she's done some specials and so on, but I haven't seen it yet. It just may not be in her wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And maybe NBC can find something else for her to do.
Oh, my gosh, already. Oh,
Twitter did not like it, and John Oliver did a whole thing last night of just sort of her...
Right.
moments.
I just don't think she has a personality for it.
No?
Well, again, it takes a certain kind of personality. Those are very difficult kind of interviews to do.
Well, the Washington Post said that NBC's Megyn Kelly experiment is a morning show Bride of Frankenstein, trying to borrow a little Kelly Ripa, a little Ellen, a little Oprah, but at the end of it, there she was just urging everybody to have fun, and it's going to be about me and you. And we saw Bethany Frankel try and do that, and that was a disaster.
Yeah, you know, the Washington Post is much meaner than I am.
All right, good. All right, let's move.
We'll see.
Okay. All right, TBD, it's just day one. All right, so moving on. So tonight we start out with Young Sheldon, Kevin Can Wait. Mm-hmm. Are you excited for those?
I'm excited about to see how other people react to Young Sheldon, which I thought was fairly winning. You know, it is a spinoff. And
of the Big Bang?
Of the Big Bang. It's Young Sheldon, as the title would suggest. And the real joy of that sitcom is the mother in the series, whose character is played by Laurie Metcalf in Big Bang Theory, is being played by Laurie Metcalf's daughter.
That's right.
Zoe Perry, and she is terrific.
She is, okay.
She's the best part about the series. And I obviously it's going to get a lot of eyeballs being paired with Big Bang. So I think people are going to like it. It's not going to change television, but it comes at a time where Big Bang is feeling a little bit tired. As I said in my short review today, they don't seem to know what to do with Penny on that show, Kelly Cuoco, and that continues to be a problem. She's just, she's the show's secret weapon, and she's been put in the holster for the last couple of years.
Oh.
I mean, can you name one thing that her character has gone through?
Well, see, here's the deal. We never watched that show, but I'm interested in Young Sheldon because I kind of think it'd be fun to have a smart young kid.
It does a nice job of showing the trials and tribulations of somebody like that. The kid is good. They have Jim Parsons narrating it, which I think is unnecessary.
Okay.
I know why they're doing it. Kevin Can Wait is interesting because they brought back Leah Remini, who was his co-star on King of Queens, and was absolutely terrific on that show. I always thought she deserved an Emmy nomination.
Mm-hmm.
And I said when the show premiered that why didn't they just cast Leah Remini and
bring back
King of Queens? So they finally listened to me. And I am interested in the setup because they're not married in this new version. They're kind of at each other's throats from what I understand. I haven't seen it yet. So I am interested in seeing if they can rekindle that magic. Kevin James needs somebody tough.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he walks all over them, and that was a problem in Kevin Can Wait originally. He needs somebody that'll won't put up with his nonsense or his character's nonsense, and that's certainly Leah Remini.
And maybe now that he doesn't have the much younger wife who made him look older, they can stop dyeing his hair so dark brown. It's just distracting.
That probably won't change.
They dyed it so dark to make him look younger to fit that other wife.
Yeah. And Leah is still younger than Kevin. But,
right, but not 17 TV. Years younger.
Well, that's television for you.
Okay, so what are you excited about this week?
Well, there's a few things. I just saw a pretty fun Netflix series called Big Mouth, which comes out on Friday. Nick Kroll is behind it, and it takes a look at puberty through children's eyes, obviously, and it's got kind of a South Park vibe to it. It's pretty clever. I'm excited about Jane Fonda and Robert Redford reuniting. I have not seen their movie, but it comes out Friday.
Oh, Our Souls at Night?
Netflix, Our Souls at Night. They didn't make it available for preview, which worries me a little bit, but you know, it's been a while since those two have been together.
Right.
And, I just love that idea of people of a certain age being in a romantic drama.
And that was such a huge book. I mean, that was...
Was it?
Yeah, it really was. It was a word-of-mouth book that spread and kept that book out there for a long time, so maybe they think there's a big audience already.
Another thing that I think will be of interest is the new season of Empire. I've got a story with Terrence Howard and Cookie.
Yes.
Running on Wednesday, and they were fun to talk to. And I've seen the first couple episodes of this season, and I think it's back to being fun and yet not totally ridiculous. It's fun to see people like Felicia Rashad and a few other well-known
people. Rumor Willis and
Demi Moore. Looks like she's going to be a new villain, although we're not sure yet.
Okay.
You know, it's full of the Forest Whitaker. We don't know if he's going to be evil or bad. Well, they all end up being evil, don't they?
Yes, they do.
But he sings in these first couple episodes. He's got a nice voice. As soaps go, it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. How about Neil, that doctor, that good doctor?
Young doctor,
with...
It's not bad. It's the same creator of House. And so you think, oh, why is this guy doing another medical drama? But Freddie Highmore, I believe that's his name, mm-hmm. who was in Bates Motel, is very good as the young doctor with autism. And, you know, the reaction, and of course, it's everybody's skeptical that he'll be able to be a surgeon with him being on the spectrum, and obviously the series is going to deal with his brilliance versus skepticism about his affliction. But that's not a bad setup.
And is that, that's tonight?
Is it tonight?
I don't think so.
It's this week. At some
the Voice
point.
Starts tonight,
oh, okay.
I think.
Yeah, that's
and,
right. So it'll be later.
It's on ABC, I believe. And you know, this is a big week of premieres.
Yeah, it is.
The next couple weeks, and there's not a lot that you have to see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Young Sheldon is, I hate to say it, there's nothing really thrilling.
What about Law and Order, True Crime, the Menendez brothers?
Well, you know, it works better than I thought it would. You know, the problem with it is, Edie Falco, first of all, is great, as always. The acting is great. All these actors kind of dialing it back to mm-hmm. fit Dick Wolf's mode, which is don't overdo it. The problem is, part of the fun of Law and Order for me is trying to figure out who done it.
Oh, got it.
That's gone here. I mean, not only do we know who done it, but we know what the results are. It's the Menendez brothers trial.
Yeah. And so is it like trying to be the People versus OJ?
It is.
Okay.
Although there's no camp to it.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that Edie Falco has a very campy hairstyle in it. It's so, you know, it's playing it straight, and you see the legal process, and it's well acted. But you kind of know every step. If you didn't know it because you were alive at that point, there's been some documentaries on it recently that have reminded you of it. So that fun of it is gone, and that's a big piece of the Law and Order puzzle, right. I think.
All right. Well, all right. We're going to not watch the toupee trial then. The boys,
yeah, I like that.
The boys, you know, it was the toupee trial. Neil, thank you so much. We're going to go to your thing.
Oh, you better.
Yeah, we're in.
The media
okay.
night.
Yeah.
All right, I'm putting you down.
Follow Neil on Twitter, Neil Justin. And also, we will look forward to your daily TV picks of what we
should
watch.
Very good. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Okay.
Nice to chat.
Bye, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, listen, we come back. We've got
slot machine updates.
We've just got to share it with you.
Home of, can you believe who went home last night? My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment.
Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, thunder. Thunder. Were laughing in my classes while I was scheming for the masses. Who do you think you are? Dreaming about being a big star. They say you're basic, they say you're easy. You're always riding in the backseat. Now I'm smiling from the stage while you were clapping in the nosebleeds.
Hey everybody, welcome back to My Talk 107.1.
We are here.
We have short attention span today.
Today?
Because, yeah.
Just in general. We
as
got in late last
to
night.
Other days?
Yeah.
No, today it's
really
a little shorter.
A little more extreme because Vegas is so perfect for short attention span. It lives. Now, Julia has made me a Harry Styles paper doll of his outfit that he wore.
Oh, that's good. Look at that.
I know it. I think Harry Styles is going to be traveling with us, Lori.
Please take a look at Harry in his bold suit. It looked so amazing. And what I really loved about it was that it had flare pants.
Oh, yeah.
Almost in a way, I thought I was looking at my dad in 1975, who I believe had a lovely plaid leisure suit with nice flare pant.
My dad
was styling.
Oh, my dad would never. He was too concerned.
Plaid leisure suit.
Yeah. But my dad was styling, Julia. Yeah. In 1975, my dad, was, I don't know, 34.
My dad was styling. He was wearing a toupee.
But he was a lawyer, and he was more of a suit. My dad was a military. He wore a uniform every day, so his chance to shine was in his personal life.
Through his clothes.
Through his clothing.
I want to decorate myself. Okay, so Lori and I talk about the 70s, with Harry Styles in his flare suit that he's wearing. We are reading the most delicious book, and our author is going to be on Thursday, Stingray Afternoons, and it is...
Laugh Out Loud Funny.
Laugh Out Loud Funny, and the musing, and this man whose name I can't remember, he writes for Sports Illustrated, but he's just amazing.
Yeah, if you were born like from 1958 to 1968 or something like that, or 68. Even 70, because I think my brother would like this, and he's 11 years younger than me. It is so captures the 70s. In America, cool. At least in the Midwest.
I couldn't
Midwest.
Stop taking pictures of the pages. Lori and I are sitting out at the pool yesterday reading it, and I'm taking pictures of his clever... It's like no one's book we've ever read before.
I can see it being a TV show. It's so funny.
It is so... Mm-hmm. And he talks about, how Minnesota was everything. We had Mary Tyler Moore here. We had... The Vikings, we had the Twins, we had the hockey team, we had General Mills in the cereal-opoly, the cereal monopoly, and we had Betty Crocker, and then he talked about Romper Room. I thought he was going to wet my pants. I mean, he really...
I think he grew up in Bloomington.
He did grow up in Bloomington.
Steve Rushen.
Oh, he's so...
He moved here when his dad got transferred with Mickey Mining, is what he called.
Mm-hmm. Mickey Mining instead of 3M?
Yeah. From Chicago, and he was like, five or something like
Got
that.
It.
Okay,
so,
this is what he said, where he was born, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm being raised in the backyard of the Lucky Charms Leprechaun, the Pillsbury Doughboy, the Jolly Green Giant, and Betty Crocker. And he just, every one of these mascots and their products are aimed at me. I love TV. I'm having so much fun. I mean, he just,
cool.
It's one of the best... It's laugh out loud.
It's
anybody who was born
book.
In that age group, this should be a present for them.
Yeah.
Because men and women alike, it is such a nostalgic piece of our life if you were born in that time frame.
Yeah. It's a great cover, too. The boy on the stingray.
Well, Julia had somebody take a photo of us.
I have the photo
yesterday.
Of us.
Both reading that book.
Oh, is that right?
From behind, because I am now producing our Lori's Instagram. Success. Lori's going to be an Instagram star in case people don't know it yet. But I just haven't edited everything yet. Yeah. To be Instagram worthy.
All right. I've got to just give a couple of TV things that we didn't get to with Neil.
Yep.
So Kira Sedgwick was everywhere last week and her show.
What is that?
It's called 10 Days in the Valley. And it's just a 10 episode thing. It's going to be on ABC on, is it Sunday the 1st?
I'd have to check on that.
Okay.
Either 31 days. I can never remember that poem or whatever that is.
I don't even know it.
31
days. In September.
Oh, yeah.
They're 30 days in September.
Okay. So it is on the 1st. Yeah. On Sunday night. So Kira and...
Sunday, October 1st. Yep.
Donnie posted a photo of her. She, of course, walked the red carpet with her hubby, Kevin Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what it's... she plays a TV producer whose daughter's kidnapped, a crime that reveals the secrets of everyone it touches. It's just 10-episode limited series, gets off to just an amazing start, and you don't have to be worried about left hanging because it was just planned to be this one and done thing.
Yeah, I like
that
idea.
Like a Netflix type of thing. So that is on Sunday. And then the other show that I wanted to tell people about, and I wanted to make sure you knew, Julia, you get Sundance.
Yes.
Channel? Okay.
Yeah, I get Sunday.
So there's a show called Riviera. Have you guys heard about it?
I already love the name.
Okay, Riviera is not on the regular Sundance channel.
Oh, it's not?
It's not.
But I found it on my DVR.
You did? Oh, I thought it was on their special sort of side channel.
No, you know what? If you don't ever know, you just... you put in the name of the TV show mm-hmm. using your remote.
Oh, okay. Or you can voice
good to know.
Or voice it and yep. it will show up. But yeah, so it's Champagne Wishes, Caviar Dreams, and One Messy Corpse. Julia, here's the story.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
It's a drama. Julia Stiles is in it.
Oh yeah, we looked at the ad for this.
And
weekend.
It's a swanky, overheated melodrama set among the super rich of the Côte d'Azur, which is Cannes, Monte Carlo, Nice. She plays Georgina, an American art buyer whose billionaire husband, Anthony LaPaglia,
LaPaglia.
So he's older husband, happens to be standing on a big yacht when it explodes into a huge ball of flame. And, she has to turn to other people. Think of it as Dynasty crossed with Henry James' Portrait of a Lady.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I just love it.
I know.
Oh, I love it. So, and then you know, tonight we got to remember the Maple Grove finalist from the Larkin School. What's her name? Taylor Seavey. She's 19. And so you think you can dance.
Oh.
She's... got people think there's four people left. They think that she could maybe get second or third place, but let's root for first place.
All right, let's
Taylor Seavey tonight on Fox at 7 o'clock. All right, people, we'll be back.
We will be back.